magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Friday, April 24th, 2020. Opening up the program with one of my favorite scriptures in all the Bible, Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. And I know many of you have this memorized and have talked about this or heard this preached or have recited it from time to time. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight." And Jason, I share that with our listeners today because that's kind of one of my fundamental go-to verses through these many, many years. I think this was the first verse I ever memorized. Gosh, now that I'm thinking I'm 60, 45, 50 years ago. I mean, it's like, wow. But I was telling you yesterday that I don't know if I was under spiritual attack or just the heaviness or the weight of the workload or just a new thing that God's trying to do in my life. And so he's quickening ideas and concepts and some good healthy conviction, maybe some things that I need to change or habits or thought processes that have to be kind of filtered through the spirit and not through the flesh. All to say that this verse came to mind yesterday and again today that, you know, we just need to focus on trusting in the Lord, not with a part of our heart, not just some of the time, but with all of our hearts, and not try to think it all through with our God-given abilities or even like our own minds. Really surrender it to him, give it to him, not our understanding. Acknowledge him as the source, and then he'll help navigate us through or clarify the path or steer us in the right direction. So that's a go-to verse for me, and I'm sure for many, but it seemed like after a number of hours of programming out at the radio tower yesterday and thinking this through, and I told you, I think I said, I just don't want to talk to anyone for a while, and got to share with you just some of the pressures of the ministry and the workload. You shared a verse, I can't remember what it was, that was like an eye-opener too.
Galatians 4:9, it's not that you know God, but rather that you are known by God.
So it's getting our mindset or our framework balanced again that, hey, the bottom line is you are known by God. What greater thing can you exist for?
Well, yeah, and I mean, in this time, if we just have to be honest, and it's the reason why, I mean, if you watch the ratings on TV between, for us in Illinois, between like 2:30 and 3:30, and then from between 4 and 6 are huge. Why? Because between 2:30 and 3:30 is when the governor gives his daily briefing, and when the president gives his after that, between that 4 and 6 hour. And so the ratings are huge. Why? Because nobody knows what's going to happen, and everybody is waiting to see what's going to happen, waiting to see if, are the restrictions going to be lifted? Are they going to be extended? What is going to be relieved? What is going to be implemented? I mean, there's so many things that we don't know. You know, we don't know what tomorrow brings. And so people are in mass amounts tuning in to find out, to see if they can get some inkling of what tomorrow is going to bring. Because in our humanity, that's what we want. We so want to know what's going to happen. We want to know why and how. And in this period of time right now, we don't. And in the absence of knowing, we find ourselves having to trust. And that's what Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, right? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. You know, right now is a wonderful time to evaluate, do we really trust the Lord with all of our heart? Do we really do that? In fact, when I even think about that myself, it's almost kind of overwhelming to think about trusting him with all of my heart. Because we always, no matter how much we would say we love unreservedly, we always keep back a little bit of our heart. We protect a little bit of our heart. We kind of keep that just in case. You know, and it's just the way we are in the flesh. You know, we don't love our spouses with our whole heart. We say we do, and we probably love them more than we've ever loved anybody else, you know, or our kids or grandkids or whatever. We love them more than we've ever loved anybody else. But I don't know anybody I can really put my finger on who loves others with their whole heart, with all of their heart. And Proverbs 3:5 says for us to trust in the Lord with all your heart. And the reason why Proverbs says to do this is so that you will not lean on your own understanding, but you'll lean on his understanding. And so, in fact, I don't know what tomorrow brings. You don't know what tomorrow brings. And I think that if anybody tells you they know what tomorrow brings, they're probably either trying to sell you something or they're trying to maneuver something for their own personal gain. Because for so many of us, we just don't know. We don't know what the infection rates are going to be. We don't know kind of what the food supply chain is going to do. We don't know what's going to happen. But we do know who God is. That's the one thing that we know. We know who he is. And even more so, it's not that we know him. That's powerful. But rather that he knows us. Because without him knowing us, we wouldn't even know him. I mean, the reason that we know him is through the Lord Jesus Christ. The reason we're able, Romans 8 tells us, to come close to him as sons and daughters of adoption and be able to call him Abba Father is because of what Jesus did. And so it's because God knew us. He sent his son to die for us, to draw us near, to tear the veil and the curtain, to make access to him open. We would not know God in the way that we know God. We would know God like Israel knew God. We would know God because of a temple, and we would know God because of stories that we've heard. But we wouldn't know God in this personal and powerful way that we do now because we have the Spirit of God residing inside of us because of what Jesus Christ did. And so it's not that I know God, but rather that God knows me. And that right there, that should be the tipping point where you go, and now I'm going to trust him with all my heart because I thought I knew, but I didn't know anything apart from his knowing. His knowing me did something that I never could have imagined, because I don't think anybody wakes up in the morning and says, you know what I need today? I need someone to die once and for all of us. I don't think anybody wakes up and says it. I don't think that's any of our answers, because our trusting in ourselves answers are always so much smaller. All right? And our trusting in ourselves answers, they don't usually encompass that kind of sacrifice.
Right.
And yet God, from the very beginning, said, I'm going to send my son, the most precious thing I have, because I only have one of them, and he's going to die for your sins. The best person ever is going to come and sacrifice himself for the worst people ever to do what they couldn't do so that they can draw near to me. Mm-hmm. And so it's not that I know God, but rather that God knows me. Because my own understanding is so much smaller, and yet what God understands, what God knows, how infinite that is, his understanding is where I need to place my trust, because tomorrow isn't a day that God knows about. Tomorrow is a place that God is, because he's omnipresent, he's omniscient, he's omnipotent. He has all the strength, all the knowledge, all the power, and all the presence. And so my job right now is to do what God is calling me to do right now. And maybe, just maybe, you know, I was at the store the other day. We made our weekly, you know, we make a weekly run to the store. Other than that, we try and stay in the house so we can keep everybody safe. But I kind of chuckled because as I was going through the store, you know, and I saw all these displays with the planners on them, you know, the 2020 planners, those books that, you know, I have one of them. Maybe you have one. I don't know. But they're all on clearance. And I kind of chuckled when I saw it because I said, yeah, the year 2020 is on clearance. We don't know what this year brings. The planner would be pointless at this point. What are you going to do, write things down so you can cross them out? I mean, you can't plan 2020. It's done. You know, maybe we'll plan later in the year, but I don't know. There's still concerts and parades and different things that are being canceled out into the future because, you know, we just don't know what the future is going to bring.
Yeah.
You know, we don't know what the future holds, but we know who holds the future. And so is this a time where God's going, listen, you guys are all great planners, but now I want you to see what it looks like when the master planner flexes his muscles, when the master planner steps in. And it's a bit disruptive. And my understanding is actually, you know, if we're just real honest, my understanding is worthless in this moment. Because I don't understand anything.
Yeah.
I don't understand anything. But he understands everything. And so what a season where I have to run back to the throne constantly, asking him why, how, what, where, when. I have to lean into his understanding. And in all the ways that I'm running back to that throne, I'm acknowledging him, that he is God. And listen, when it says to make your path straight, it doesn't mean that all of a sudden your world gets bent back to the way you want it. You know, I hear a lot of people saying to me, well, when things get back to normal, I don't believe things are going to get back to normal.
Yeah.
I think that there will be a new normal. And who's to say that what we were doing before was normal?
Right.
And I'm not saying normal in the terms of what we're comfortable with or what we like, but normal in the terms of what God would want us to do. And so God is a master at taking crooked sticks and making them straight, but not straight like we want them straight, straight like he wants them straight. And so in acknowledging him and running back to the throne and seeking instruction and seeking guidance from him, our paths become straight, leading straight to him being glorified, leading straight to him being worshipped, leading straight to others getting on that path and moving towards him.
Mm-hmm.
But let's just be honest, Mark, that's difficult, right? Because you even alluded to it when you shared that you felt this weight and this kind of spiritual oppression. You know, it made me think of Ephesians chapter 6, you know, and the famous passage that we always talk about, that you're putting on the whole armor of God.
Mm-hmm.
But it begins in verse 10 in chapter 6 by saying, finally, be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. Now, some people would say, well, Paul says finally there because it's one of the last things he's going to talk about in the book of Ephesians. I don't necessarily know that I agree with that. I think that's one answer to why the word finally appears there. But I think it's finally because finally, you're at the end of yourself. Finally, you don't have any more answers. Finally, you are willing to admit you don't know what tomorrow brings. Finally, you're willing to be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might.
Yeah, I like that. I'm thinking, finally, most importantly.
Yeah, and it's in this moment it says, put on the whole armor of God so you can stand against the schemes of the devil. Why? Because when God is at work doing something, and if he's sovereign, which I believe he's sovereign, he's always at work. You know, God didn't go, like, on vacation and come back, and the Holy Spirit's like, oh, my gosh, while you were gone, coronavirus. God knows exactly what's going on, and he either, A, created it, allowed it, or will dismiss it. But God is sovereign over all of these things, and his purposes are bigger than ours. God is more interested in fashioning us for eternity than he is in how happy we are in this moment. And so, finally, we need to operate in his strength. But let's understand, the devil is actively at work trying to thwart those schemes. So as we're going through the season and people are saying, I feel just so frustrated. I feel guilty that I'm not getting more done. I feel like I'm just struggling to deal with people and situations, and I feel really short, and I'm having trouble. That's because there is spiritual oppression, because God is doing something in and through us in this season of life, and the devil wants to thwart that. How is he going to thwart that? By making you frustrated, by making you feel like you're short and you're unable to communicate, by robbing you of the grace that you want to have. And listen, he says this, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. I love this. And I don't love this because I think that this is uplifting. And I love the truth of this, because we don't wrestle with flesh and blood. But our flesh and our blood are affected by the wrestling that happens in the divine and heavenly places.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the feeling of heaviness that you have, that's because there's a war that's happening somewhere, and it is affecting you in a very visceral, physical way, because you are being affected by it.
Right.
And so that wrestling that's happening, while it isn't flesh and blood, your flesh and blood is feeling what's happening through that war. And it says, against rulers and against authorities, against cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. And then the Bible goes on to say, therefore take up and put on the full armor of God. Now, why do you put on the full armor of God? So that you can withstand the attacks of the enemy? Well, yeah, that's one thing that the passage says. But you're putting on the full armor of God is doing what Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, acknowledging and trusting in the Lord with all of your heart. You're putting on his armor because your natural inclination is to put on your own. You're putting on his armor. You're choosing, instead of to put on the breastplate of rugged individualism, you're putting on the breastplate of righteousness. You're putting on the shoes of peace instead of the shoes of, you know, whatever comes my way, I'm going to tackle it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, go through the different pieces of the armor, the shield of faith. No way. As Americans, and not just Americans, but I think as people, we like to pick up the shield of I'm right.
Yeah, I believe in myself.
Yeah, exactly. And so when we put on the full armor of God, what we're doing is we're doing what Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says. We're trusting in the Lord with all our heart. We're not leaning into our own understanding and putting on our own armor. And instead, we are acknowledging him in everything, acknowledging that I need his breastplate, I need his shoes, I need his sword, I need his shield, I need his helmet, I need everything to come from him, or else I can't stand in this battle, and I've already proven it because finally, finally, I'm at the end of myself. I can't do it. In fact, I can't even handle the after effects of the battle that's happening somewhere else because my flesh and blood can feel the heaviness and the hardness of what's going on somewhere else. The battle that's happening on my behalf. And so, friends, we have to trust in the Lord with all of our hearts. And that's so hard because especially in these times, what we want to do is we want to guard our hearts. We want to protect our hearts. We want to protect the hearts of the people around us because we feel like this is such a tenuous time and everybody is very sensitive and everything is very difficult. We're very fragile in this time. But what we need to do instead of guarding our hearts is we need to give our whole hearts to the Lord, trusting him with everything, saying, you know what, I don't know what tomorrow brings, but I'm blessed and thankful for today. And if tomorrow, if it's the worst ever, I know that I still stand with the best ever.
Mm-hmm.
I stand with God, and I stand in his mighty power, not my own. And I think it's those kinds of declarations that make us as Christians unshakable in these kinds of moments. It doesn't mean we don't feel that in our flesh and blood. It doesn't mean that we don't struggle, but we ultimately know the greatest truth ever.
Yeah, I like Ephesians 6:10 where it begins, finally be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. And kind of like the Proverbs, trust in the Lord, we're to be strong in him and in his power, not our own makings, not our own abilities or what we're strong or effective at, in his power. And then another thing, I wanted to go back because you touched on this, and maybe to close out this thought for our listener today, Jason, because you were given the gospel message that God sent his son, that God loves us, that God cares for us. It's an incredible good news message for all of us. And you touched on the fact that it wasn't because we earned it, we did right, we were working our way towards God. We were sinners, we were wretched, we were undeserving. But he initiated, while we were still sinners, Christ came for us. So maybe a closing thought to encourage all of us that we can't earn our way to receive grace. It's not because we're good, we go to church, we tithe. Because there's probably some people that have come to the end of themselves and say, I am a wretch. There's no way a God could love me. I'm undeserving and I recognize I'm undeserving. I've sinned in these ways. I'm a basket case. I'm a mess. How can you talk about a God loving us? But that is God's character, right?
It is. And you know what it is? It is the where we are at right now. And this is why, in some ways, I am excited about where we're at. I'm not excited for the struggle that we have. I'm not excited for those people who are financially or physically having probably some of the toughest times they've ever experienced. I'm excited because we are in the position that the gospel message paints in the Bible, in Romans chapter 5, it says, beginning of verse 6, for while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. And if only there was a time you feel weak, it's right now, and yet the reminder that Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even die. But God shows, some Bibles say demonstrates, his love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us.
Mm-hmm.
And so in this moment where, you know, no amount of good works are going to save us from this moment, no, Christ died for us. Once and for all, God did a work that frees us from the burden of all that we fear about tomorrow. That's the reason why the Apostle Paul could say, to live is Christ, to die is gain. Because he said, because of what Christ did, death no longer has that sting. And one of the things that we've discussed a lot in our family has been all the people who have died. You know, when we think about all the numbers of the people who have been saved or the people who have come through this, but I think, my gosh, but look at all the people who died and how many of those people did not know Jesus Christ. And that makes the gospel imperative to us right now as Christians because there is a disease out there. There is a virus. And there is an enemy that would love to see people perish without knowing who Christ is. And we, as Christians, cannot allow that. We need to come in the strength of the gospel message, living that out and preaching it in love. Listen, one would scarcely die for a good person. One won't even die for a bad person. But one did die for every person. And his name is Jesus Christ. And God demonstrates how much he loves you by sending him to die in your place.
Wow, great words from the Word of God and from a pastor that is a disciple of the Lord Jesus, an ambassador of the King. And we have that privilege as we follow Jesus to be his disciple and to be God's ambassador into this hurting world. So I'm thinking I'm going to close out with Ephesians 6:10 for the believer. Finally, be strong in the Lord today and in his mighty power. And those of you seeking the Lord Jesus, those of you that want to understand about having a relationship with God, I began with Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in him today. Just open your heart to the gospel message that he cares for you. And Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, even what little heart that you have. Just give it over to him. Trust him with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. I know it's a mystery story of how God sent his son because he cared for you, but he did. He died on the cross for you. He bled for you. He shed his life for you so that you could recognize you needed a Savior, that you were a sinful person needing to be redeemed. So God sent his one and only son that you might have life in him. So receive the Lord Jesus Christ as you open your heart and mind to God, speaking truth into it. And that would be my prayer, Jason, that many people today might come to know the Lord Jesus Christ for the first time, and for the senior saints and those of us on our faith journey that will surrender more of ourselves to him so that he can work through us this very day. All right. Well, thank you, Jason. Have a great weekend, everyone. You gather with your church through the internet or live streaming or Zoom gatherings or whatever it is. And hopefully maybe in a few weeks we'll get the go-ahead to start meeting up again. We'll see how that all works together. Amen and amen, Jason.
Amen.
Amen and amen. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with Great News Radio, a ministry of the Great News Media Group. God bless you and have a great day, night, and weekend.